Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And, hope your Super Bowl Sunday was good. The Super Bowl actually turned out to be the toilet bowl. But hopefully in America, we can create our own Super Bowl with national revival and the reestablishment of the Constitution and the rule of law. Doug and I have been talking about Donald Trump in a long, lengthy pre-air discussion slash debate. And I think it's really interesting, some of the things we talked about. And we got into a lot of geopolitics too. Trump is a complicated figure. I don't embrace everything about the man, but I think his election has given us the potential to reestablish a greater degree of normalcy than we had before. Notice my choice of words. I didn't say save America, make America great, reestablish some normalcy and move in that direction. Like stopping fentanyl, child sex trafficking. Hey, anyone that cuts the genitals off of kids, I don't think there's a punishment that's too strong. But anyway, I digress. We're going to get into some of these topics and more right here on this show. We are coming to you here from my side, the Common Sense Show, the Noble Gold Studios. And ladies and gentlemen, I did a silver deal just about almost 2 weeks ago now. Why? Because silver is the new oil. It's going to be in every new technology. AI is going to explode with the use of silver, and it's rare. And the price is being artificially held down by the banks right now, and that won't last much longer. You need to get involved with Noble Gold. Plus, if you're involved with Noble Gold, as a bank fails, they can't steal your retirement. Under Dodd-Frank, they can. And so I would recommend that you go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Put in your email, the only required field. I'll rush you out an electronic packet that'll answer more questions about what I have raised here. And then there's a number there for you to call Noble Gold, and you can get started. The federal government wants me to tell you, there's a risk. Well, there's a risk when you get out of bed in the morning, too. But we give that warning in good faith. However, they don't warn you that the banks can rip you off. And I have been a customer of Noble Gold for 7.5 years, became an advertiser the year before. I'm very happy, and I'll continue to work with them and work for them and be a customer as well, and I recommend you do too. Doug Thornton, my friend from the American Vindicta Show, and it's doing quite well, and he's playing the role of ultimate contrarian, and actually I think it's a role that needs to be played, and his show is growing in popularity. He's getting attention, and I think for good reason, and he does one other thing too. We have 8 million gotaways that are potential terrorists in our country. We had two major ammunition shipments interdicted in Arizona, headed into the interior of the country. Do the math, folks. I think everyone should be concealed carry. Everybody in America. But you better get trained first. And Doug, you do that work. Tell people about what you provide and how they can take advantage of it. Because I think everyone should not leave their house without their gun in the morning because of what we're going to be going through.
Well, I mean, you say that as I'm sitting here steadily reloading magazines. If you've got a car and you don't know how to drive it and you get behind the wheel and you hit somebody, you're going to be highly liable. Mm-hmm. If you decide to operate, big, heavy equipment machinery and you destroy a home or, unfortunately flip it and destroy it or ruin someone's life, well, you can be held accountable for it. That's the same thing with guns. You use that gun to the best of your ability, right? And wanting to do the right thing. And that does not always mean that, the courts are going to look at it as, well, the guy did the best of what he had at what he, with what he had at the time. No, I mean, the court is going to hit you with every kind of what if, why didn't you? You could have just ran away. Did you have to stand your ground? Why are you carrying hollow points? They're going to rip you apart in court. Well, the best way to prepare for things like that, right, is to have some formal level of training. And a great way to hopefully prevent any of these types of shootings that are happening all across the country. One is learning de-escalation techniques and tactics, understanding the human body structure and position when you start to see these pre-assault indicators, and you'll start to know if he's doing this, I need to start doing this. I need to keep safe distance, watch his hands, watch his waistline, watch his eyes. Being recognizant about my situational awareness. Where are my outs in this building? Can I get out through a window, through a door? Do I need to be in this building right now if there's, some sort of a hostile engagement of some kind going on? So that's part of what we teach. The other part is self-defense. And self-defense shooting and self-defense tactics are two different things. You can go to a flat range where you shoot a target and you can get very good with shooting, as you should be. But does the cardboard target talk to you? Does it run away from you? Does it barricade itself inside a room with your kids? Does it kick down your door in the middle of the night? That is where our training comes in. With us, we're not using live firearms. We're using semi-munition guns. Unit Solutions rifles is one of them. We use things like this little airsoft Glock 19. This is just a toy,
What does that
but
do?
it shoots little pellets, and gosh, they hurt.
But it's not lethal, is it?
No. I just don't shoot yourself in the eye, kid. Anybody name the movie? But we use semi-munition weapons so you can get put in a scenario where it could be a mugging, it could be a home invasion, it could be burglary in process, it could be or in progress, it could be random murderers in your vicinity, and just happens to bust into your house. And what are we doing now? And we're teaching you through the scenario development what you should be looking for, what you should be saying, what should you be commanding that person to do, and is it worth staying in this house anymore? If you got a family, that always ups the ante on what your response needs to be. A lot of times we got to get the nervousness out of people, and we got to get you relaxed in thinking, breathing and thinking and understanding, okay, now what I do? I've been here before. These are the things I need to start thinking about doing in order to increase my chance of survival. Cops go through this type of training every year. You have to pass this type of training. We call it scenario-based training in order to become a cop. Law enforcement does it. Security guards, hopefully, should be doing some form of it. Many military units, before they deploy overseas, are going through scenario-based training because we can shoot at targets all day long and look awesome. But if we can't speak with people, if we freak out when they freak out in front of us, if we don't know common culture, the whole thing falls apart, right? Because you're not going to go to another country and fight cardboard targets. You're going to be fighting people. Well, cardboard targets aren't going to be kicking in your door looking for their next high or your wallet or your keys to your car. It's going to be people. So we teach you how to deal with that. These scenarios that we go over, they can apply from your house to your buddy's house to Walmart, Dollar General, around your vehicle. It's a basic level of set skills. If you're interested in it, go to vindictasolutions.com. Look at what we've got to offer. We've got a class actually here at the end of this month. And then we have a patrol course, which, if you've never been on an infantry style patrol, that's in April, I believe. That's pretty intense. You should check that out. Another one of our courses is going on in May. We have a women's only course that'll be happening at the end of September. You can go to Vindictive Solutions YouTube channel, and you can watch all the training that we've put on, so you can see what it is that we're doing. And you can also email us through our website, vindictasolutions.com.
Okay, sounds good.
Ugh.
I've been told in Phoenix now, the cartel are doing a new type of raids in Phoenix now. This is cartel. They're disabling Wi-Fi for home security, and they're breaching the home while people are there. They want to catch the people in the house. Might be a scenario that you want to add.
Man, trust me, there's all types of things we need to update right now. We're going to be updating a lot of violent home break-ins, which is skyrocketing right now in many cities. So, our scenarios are intense, but it is a thinking man's game. It's not about bang, bang, shoot 'em up, John Wick style movies. This is about getting you to think on your feet. You work with yourself or in a team, or you can be working with two or three people, maybe four people, depending on the scenario. It's good for small unit leadership, church security teams. I have no idea why you're not a training somewhat like this. I understand they go out and they do stuff all the time, but you need to be going to other trainers and getting trained from outside influence, not just always training yourself. And that's the best way to keep that edge sharp. Have outside influence. I'm not saying everyone needs to come to our training, but you need to be seeking some kind of someone else's training. So, yeah,
Okay.
there's my spin, there's my spiel.
No, I think it's needed. I'm telling people, listen to me. I used to say just food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Now I'm saying training to conceal carry. I'm telling folks we are at risk. You've heard me on my show talk about the two ammunition busts in Arizona, and then it was scrubbed from the mainstream media. Fortunately, I captured it, and it's still up on my social media as well as my website. We live in very precarious times. Let's start with something to me that's, I think, omnipresent right now. The war in Ukraine is not ending as fast as I think Trump had hoped. I told you before we went on air, I see leverage going on. He and Pam Bondi are taking different approaches to lessening ICC, that's international court control, over Putin's sanctions. And it's going to help Putin in the long run save money. And I think that's a move towards moving Putin towards being an ally. And as I told you, Doug, before we went on air, I think it also keeps the oligarchs happy that are losing a ton of money because of the sanctions. And the oligarchs have the ability to take Putin out. So I think they are moving in the direction of aligning, but it's slower than hell. What's going to end this war? Is it the assassination of Zelensky?
I think Zelensky thinks that. I think Zelensky thinks he's a scapegoat, that he has been made into a court jester fool who has got to flex this invisible muscle of his, but he has no one left to send to war. And all those men have been turning against him. And I mean, you don't have to do much digging on the war of Ukraine to see that the people of Ukraine enslaved their own people to go and fight that war. And they were killing their own people. They were kidnapping their own people. So eventually, this type of government, it cannibalizes itself. And Zelensky is the hors d'oeuvre of the day. And he knows it. He knows that either Putin or Trump are going to eventually meet. Now, Trump is, I think about yesterday, said that he actually talked with Putin, I think, while he was on Air Force One. But declined to really talk too much about it. This is what we get from The Guardian. Donald Trump has said he held talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin over a negotiated end of the 3-year war with Ukraine and indicated that Russian negotiators want to meet with U.S. counterparts. That's kind of like what you and I were talking about. Trump told the New York Post that he just spoke to Putin, remarking that I better not say just how many times. In comments to the outlet on Friday aboard Air Force One, Trump said he believed Putin does care about the killing on the battlefield, but did not say if the Russian leader had presented any concrete commitments to end the nearly 3-year war. He says, I hope it ends fast. I hope it ends fast. Every day people are dying. This war is so bad in Ukraine. I want to end this damn thing. 700,000 Ukrainian troops have died. Approximately 1 million soldiers have died. This is a legitimate war that the world is like, meh, no one cares about. And it's with a nuclear superpower. So it's crazy to me how much coverage this war has not gotten. It's crazy to me how the war has continued for 3 years, but yet all the powers that be have not tried to come together to try and stop this. Instead, the West has just funded it and continued to fan the breeze of the fire and refill the coffers, refill the armory. I mean, this is insane.
I agree with you for the course of the 3 years, but I think there's a move not to refill the coffers. Let me share this way. I'll just do it verbally. I don't need to do share screen here. I've covered this for the past couple of days in different ways. The Republican Committee of Warren County, right, they're not a respectable Republican committee is not going to put out just absolute nonsense. And here's what they say. Zelensky came out and said, I'm missing X amount of money after Congress appropriated this much amount of money. And he's talking about the gap. Okay. Now, the Republic Committee of Warren said there are the amounts of money that Ukrainian officials have given to U.S. politicians as kickbacks for the aid. Joe Biden, $92 million. Mitch McConnell, $89 million. Pocahontas, $47 million. Chuck Schumer, $66 million. You get the idea. Liz Cheney, $77 million. Kevin McCarthy, $42 million. Raskin, $38 million. I'm not going to go through and read the whole thing. It's a pretty lengthy list. Doug, let me tell you what I think is going on here. This coincides with Doge grabbing figures. I bet this is material that was derived from Doge and given to the Warren County people, the Republican Party, to put this out. And this puts pressure on Congress not to even dare to send more money to Ukraine. I think it's undermining from the inside.
Well, we've obviously been sending. There's a known amount of money we've been sending, and there's obviously an unknown amount of money
I
that we've
agree.
been sending. So, my estimations, and from talking to some people who have been in Ukraine, is that we're close to a 300 million mark or 300 billion mark. We know that a lot of the money that's allocated from Congress actually does not leave America. It goes right to the military industrial complex so they can make the $10,000 bolt to put on the, the $4 million plane that then gets sent over to Poland and is promised for Ukraine, but it goes nowhere. There's a lot of assets have been moved to Poland, been moved, from NATO into other countries, but it didn't enter Ukraine. A few assets have entered Ukraine, which is not what they promised Zelensky. So, I
Why
mean, they
do you think
crawfished
they're
on that.
withholding the assets?
I think personally, they think Putin is so unstable, so violent, that this bravado attack into Russia itself will be the spark that lights the fuse to World War III. Putin will come in, decimate, absolutely decimate Ukraine. I mean, if he nuclear struck Ukraine, NATO is not really missing much, except the fact now there's a nuke cloud over you, bunch of idiots. But their weapons that are all on the outskirts are untouched. Their troops are all untouched. So occasionally they'll sacrifice a squadron to fly across the airspace. But that's why we donate more in troops on ground with foreign mercenaries like the French Foreign Legion and elsewhere. A lot of American mercenaries have gone over there. I've talked to some of these guys and I think they're nuts and I don't agree with anything that they agree with. We use ISR, so we use our satellites. We have jammed signals over there. Elon Musk was involved with jamming signals. Elon Musk was involved with moving Starlink over there to help with satellite communication for Ukraine. We send a lot of technology, we send a lot of spies, we send a lot of counter spies, we send a lot of sensitive information. So we're helping out quite a bit, but we have like 6 degrees of separation. It's the old government adage, you and I have talked about this before, of 6 degrees of separation. It's like if I told my buddy to hit you, but his buddy said it, and then his buddy said it, then his buddy said it, then his buddy said it, and then finally you got hit. Well, all that was because of me. But prove it. That's kind of like where they're at. But America's fingerprints are all over this. NATO is our baby. We run NATO. The biggest military comes from us, the biggest budget comes from us, the most advanced military comes from us. And we also supply money to all the other NATO members for their military forces. So it's ours. NATO is just an extension of American military prowess or might. So, I mean, there's nothing that Germany's doing that they're not telling us for approval. There's nothing that France is doing that they're not joining in with us for approval. Same thing with Britain. They're all coming to us first. Because if Russia strikes, who's coming to help you?
I
It
don't
ain't
see Russia
Spain.
striking. I think the thing that has to end the war is this. The eastern part of Ukraine that's Russian speaking has to be permanently ceded to Russia to satisfy Putin. Do you agree with that?
It seems like it. Yeah, it seems like. I mean, are you going to lose a lot of tax money by doing that?
Not
I don't
really.
know what. I don't know what the significant asset of the Dnieper River in that area is. But damn, it's not worth losing another million people.
Yeah, I would agree. There's some lithium involved, and but I think the lithium is more centrally located in Ukraine. Here's what bothers me about this whole thing, and this was done in the Biden years. BlackRock jumped the gun and announced that when the war ends, I think they said they got 15, was it billion to as seed money? I think it was 15 billion to lead the rebuild. BlackRock has no business leading anything. They're an asset management. Why would they lead anything? You would go to hard industry to do this, not BlackRock. But see, I'm going to digress, but I think you'll see where I'm going with this. In September of last year, and this story keeps repeating, I'm convinced it's true. BlackRock determined that Kamala could not win the election. And they were already pissed off at Diddy because Diddy won a $20 million lawsuit in one of their clients where they were asset managers. And so when they knew they couldn't win, they didn't need to control Hollywood anymore by using Diddy's parties and blackmails. And so they go to the DOJ and say, here's how you take him down. This story gets repeated in a lot of circles. I think it's true. This is the power BlackRock has. They can get Merrick Garland to launch a DOJ raid with FBI agents and arrest Diddy and see stuff. And you notice nothing has happened. It was just revenge against Diddy. I mean, we're not seeing Hollywood stars perp walked.
Still don't hear anything about Epstein.
No, well, Dick Durbin, the guy that opposes Kash Patel to the hilt, has refused to release the files. He's blocked the Epstein release ad nauseum. But I digress to tell you this. BlackRock has unwarranted power, and I don't want them anywhere near a Ukrainian settlement or rebuild. In fact, Doug, I won't be happy until Trump finally wakes up and realizes if he truly is trying to take America back to what it's intended to be. BlackRock is the biggest monopoly in the history of the world. It needs to be broken into 1,000 pieces, just like Ma Bell and Standard Oil and all the rest of them that have gone through antitrust legislation. BlackRock needs to fall.
Well, that's his boy.
Why do you say that? I don't make that connection.
What's his name? I can't remember his name.
Barry Fink.
He Fink is the asset manager for the properties for Trump. Not only that, asset manager, but also
All of
for
them.
stocks. All of them. That's his personal confidant. Has
Okay.
been since the
When we're done with this
90s.
broadcast or tomorrow, send me where I can find this. I'd like to know that. I'm not saying I doubt you, but I have not been able to make those connections.
Yep, trust but verify. I got you. And here's the thing, Larry Fink, he's a swamp creature just like the rest of them.
Oh, he's horrible.
Yeah. But here's the thing though, it's going back to the military industrial complex. Everything is rotating back to some sort of industrialized complex of big money that is quasi shadow government. You could find all of the Senate, all of Congress. They are bought and paid by some kind of military industrial complex. They all are owned. I think Thomas Massie is the only one who outright refuses money or gifts or anything. I mean, he upset the country Israel because he refused it. And so he's probably one of like maybe four that I'll go, okay, I'll listen to what he says.
Okay, let me add this in. This is something I did a fair amount of research on about a year and a half ago. I wanted to know who was really pulling the strings with the military industrial complex, and it's direct, it's first generation. It's BlackRock and their interlocks, State Street and Vanguard.
I was hoping you'd say aliens.
Please. Okay, Doug, I proved this ad nauseum. Unfortunately, that stuff is on YouTube and locked up now, but it's an easy research to recreate. Okay, here's another thing I found. I asked the same question about the World Economic Forum. Who controls that? And I was disappointed when I got in there and started looking at who are the major sponsors of the WEF. It wasn't BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. It was six corporations. But then I started digging into the six corporations, and it was BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. So they control the WEF. Okay, they were connected, at least in an ancillary way, with the Butler County assassination attempt on Trump. You know, from their ads to other suspicious, shall we say, collaborations that raised eyebrows. So if Trump is controlled by BlackRock, okay, then why would BlackRock seemingly participate in his assassination attempt in Butler County?
Oh no.
It's a hell of a question. Listen, I'm not putting you on the spot because, Doug, I'm going to stand there with you. I don't know either.
No, I'm dude, I don't care. I don't know what I don't know, but I can look at things and research them as easy as anyone else and go,
That's right.
hold on, hold on.
You're right.
BlackRock is like the Empire Strikes Back kind of bad guy,
I would agree with that.
right? Larry Fink is very close to like a Lord Sidious, okay?
Love
And there is no reason why I should find websites where it goes, oh yeah, Larry Fink's a great guy. Where's Larry at? Where's Larry at? And he says this at a dinner party that he had. I will find it while we talk.
I think that is absolutely true. I think it's hilarious. Larry Fink, by the way, did you see him get outed by Rebel News at the WEF convention? That was classic what Rebel News did. A tip of the cap to you guys. Ezra, you're awesome, baby. You are a great journalist. That was absolutely incredible. But Larry Fink is evil incarnate. Is he? I mean, okay, let's look at the background of them. Who created ESG? Well, it was BlackRock. Okay, what's ESG? Ultimate woke. And where does ESG end? Oh, like cutting kids' genitals off. That's how evil these bastards are. They're as evil as can be. Have you found your reference point?
I'll keep looking. There's, I
Okay, all
mean,
right. We'll go on.
if you just Google Donald Trump and Larry Fink, a ton of stuff automatically populates.
Tell me what we'll find.
Well, I mean, here's one from the New York Post. Billionaire Larry Fink could have Trump's ear no matter who gets the Treasury job. That was November 22nd of last year. Dude, these websites are weird. BlackRock quits major net zero alliance ahead of Trump to play a consecutive role
That's true. They did do that.
or a constructive role, play a constructive role. Trump's treasury prick. We talked about this with Trump's secretary pick for the treasury, if Larry Fink or Jamie Dimon would be one of those.
I don't see that happening. Do you?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, unlike what Trump put his hands on in Saudi Arabia.
Maybe it was after he got off the flying carpet. All right, that's a little digression into mythical history. But okay, here's my take on this. Trump was one of them when he was a major real estate developer.
He was a Democrat, liberal Democrat, and he's still a liberal Democrat. He has not really changed too much in
Give
his
me an example
stance.
because I don't know that I agree with that. Assumption.
I mean, he hasn't really changed too much. He always kind of goes back and forth. I think the thing about Donald Trump is he will go with whatever makes him most popular. Do I think he's patriotic? Sure. Do I think he cares about the Second Amendment? He better. He's got bodyguards. He better care. Do I think he cares about the wealth of America? Yeah, because the wealth of America is how he relies upon his wealth as well. And he has to live here. So I think
I
he.
have other motives.
Go ahead.
I think he flipped sides, and he did. I mean, come on, he went to relative of Hillary Clinton's wedding, and they were palling around together, okay, years ago. But he was one of them. There's no denying that, and I don't argue with people who says, "Yeah, David, did you know he hung out with?" Yeah, I know that. Here's where I think the shift took place. I think there was a point where the left started crossing the line. And he said enough. And then I think his ego took over. I think this man wants to be the second George Washington. George Washington created the nation, and Donald Trump is George Washington II, saves the nation, make America great again. save America. He wants this to be his legacy. I think it's ego driven. Now, let me tell you this. I don't give a crap what his motivation is, as long as he can restore our rights, give us a sound economy, and give our kids a fighting chance to have a decent life like we've had. I support that, but I do think it's ego driven, Doug. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he's spiteful and vengeful for
Yeah, well,
what
he
happened
is. Oh, listen, he's taken away the security clearances for Anthony Blinken. Okay.
and Joe Biden.
Yeah, Joe Biden couldn't even read them now. But
Well, he
I do
also
agree with it. He said Joe Biden will put it in the garage and he'll lose them. He might have a point there.
he was taking away security clearance from some of those attorneys from New York too, who were working against him.
Those people should be disbarred because everything they did was lawfare and it was a violation of their constitutional oath and it was illegal.
He is, in my mind, don't put any more words in my mouth than what I'm going to say, but in my mind, he is pulling a Caesar right now. That the Senate, you better get behind me. Politicians, you better get behind me. Legislators, you better get behind me. I run the country, you better get behind me. Loyalty check now. Because he wants to employ a loyalty check with federal employees. And here's what's weird is coming out of the federal government, I completely understand why you'd want to do that. And I also say it's a huge danger because if Trump goes, all right, all you Republican, conservative, Second Amendment, veteran, Christians, blah, 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 blah. If you're on the right path with me, then you better click this button and we'll make America great again. For all of you who click, I'm an enemy of Donald Trump, you're stupid, you're fired, you're gone. I can see how that can happen. And I can see how a lot of people would want that. When you work with some of these lunatics, I can only give you my personal experience working at in Portland during the riots, we're of every race and creed. And then all of a sudden, we get told before we have our meeting one day and we're getting ready for a massive riot. Hey, it just came down from the White House. You guys have to take your American flags off because we had American flag patches on our vests. We're like, what? Says who? It's coming from the White House. But this is America. Can't we wear America? We have them on our cars. We got to take them off our car. You just got to take it off, especially if it has the thin blue line on it. Someone said that it was racist. Because George Floyd was killed by a police officer, and now police officers are all wearing support police officers, thin blue line American flags. And it turned out that it was a black dude. And that black dude turned out to be like super racist. At the same time, he was also an army veteran. At the same time, he's also an active duty police officer around all of his supposed brothers during a time of like, we just need to restore stability for the normal people who live here. Stop your bullshit. I mean, and I remember talking with some of the other leadership, I'm like, send that dude home. And that's what ended up happening. Send that dude home. Your head is in the wrong place. People are getting hurt. We've had people die. You need to go home. You don't belong in that uniform. You don't belong to be here because you're choosing party sides. That was me as a cop. You can't choose party sides. That's dangerous. You support the Constitution, absolutely, no matter what. But at the same time, when Obama was president, my God, if you said anything against Obama to certain federal employees, all hell hit the fan. And you got written up, you got counseled, you got talked to. They'd pull you over, away from all the employees. Hey, you shouldn't say stuff like that because they're sensitive about Obama. I'm like, okay, I don't care. I served Obama when I was in the military. He can kiss my butt. I don't give. I give two thoughts about Barack Obama. Same thing about George Bush or Donald Trump or any of these freaking guys. They're just the commander in chief. They're a temporary employee. But some people look to these people as like, nope, that guy's God on earth. They looked at Barack Obama as a messiah-like figure, and it violated the Hatch Act. And no one could say anything about it because, well, if you say anything about it, you're racist. And
Yeah,
if you say anything
tell
about
the
the
hatch.
alphabet people, you're racist.
Tell what the Hatch Act is, real quick.
Well, the Hatch Act is you cannot show any type of presidential campaign support while you're a federal employee in the midst of your duties.
Yes.
You can't put a MAGA hat here. You can't put a I'm with her sticker over here. It's go back to your job and shut your mouth. Collect your freaking pay. Do your freaking job. And that's how it should be. But it is so politicized. Donald Trump will only help with it becoming ultra politicized if he goes through that. Now, let me ask you this. Why should there be this giant mechanism of you're either with me or you're not with me unless he's planning on something?
Don't know. We heard that with George Bush. You're either with
We did.
us or with the terrorists.
Thank you.
And Barack Obama too. And what you're saying here, I'm going to give you two views, okay? And I'll let you comment on one or both. One view on why Trump is purging these employees is because elected officials come and go, but deep state people stay in perpetuity, and you can have leftovers from a regime that's communist,
And it's
unconstitutional, and they carry
cancer.
their BS into the present. So you need to wipe them out because they're working against the American interests. That's the one view, and I agree with that view. The other view is that you're creating a political enemies list, not necessarily of a deep state, but more traditional Democrat versus Republican, and you're using your position to lessen the opposition to you. And that is, I think, a constructive view. My concern with mass layoffs and buyouts is this, is you're going to find maybe 10, 20% of the people aren't engaged in this nonsense. They're not an agent of the deep state, knowingly or unknowingly. They're just there to push pencils and do their job, and they don't deserve to lose their job. So I don't know that the generalized approach isn't going to make mistakes. But I do agree with rooting out the deep state. USAID, I think
Yeah.
everyone ought to go, and they need to tear
Oh,
down the building.
dude, I'm telling you, when this stuff started coming out about the USAID, the fact that we were arming the Taliban at a tune of $70 million a week,
Killing
bad enough.
American soldiers, killing
But
American soldiers.
we sent $30 million worth of condoms for them. I mean, those poor goats. This is
Well,
horrible.
there's another element to that too. I actually said this to my wife today. I don't believe that we sent millions of dollars of condoms to Gaza. I believe that was line item fraud to cover up a bribe. And
Well, supposedly we did it to Africa, we did it to
I
Afghanistan,
know.
that we did it to the Palestinians.
Right. Do you think there's kickbacks in USAID? That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Absolutely. I think any one of those congressmen that you referenced earlier who got kickbacks from this war in Ukraine, I think every bit of that money should be stripped. It should all go into a great big pot of money, and then that money should go right back on your tax returns. That's what that should happen.
Or to house veterans who are homeless.
Sure, man. Make it something beneficial. Go and help with the people who are, elderly and disabled, or help with, physical needs for people who are disabled. Make it something that is something Christ-like
Agree.
in helping out your neighbor. But instead, why in the love of everything that is good and holy are our politicians who are government employees, make $170,000 a year? They have the greatest retirement and health that you could find, and they're getting millions of dollars of kickbacks. People are dying.
Why
People
do
are dying.
you think Chuck Grassley stays until he's 90? You got Mitch McConnell that can't even walk 10 steps without falling.
Hey,
They want the money. They want the money, Doug.
there's a song that I've been listening to for dedication to a Ranger friend of mine. For all those people whose hands are bloodied from these wars, well, glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Put them on a bird, fly them over that war zone, kick their butt out with a freaking slack line of a parachute, and let them fall and PLF into the ground in their combat zone. Let them survive. That's what you want. That's what you're making your blood money off of. You're sending young men to die. You can go and join it. That's how I feel. Because when 9/11 happened, like what's happening right now, all this money that's floating around that nobody can find, Doge is doing the same thing that OIG was doing to the Pentagon before 9/11 hit. Hey, we lost $2 trillion. Where is it at? Gee, I don't know.
Building seven, building seven.
Yeah. The records for this stuff was held in the Twin Towers and in Building 7. And then the same area of Pentagon where that supposed plane, missile, whatever they want to call it, hit, another place where there was records. So, sounds like a cover-up. And now this is happening again. And then Elon Musk goes and posts something saying, I better get extra security. We're finding trillions of dollars missing at Pentagon again.
It's true.
Could this be setting us up for the next 9/11 event that needs to take the Patriot Act to that next level?
You think
I
it's
mean,
Trump inspired, or would it be criminal Pentagon inspired?
I don't want to speculate more than what we do already, but someone is doing it. I don't believe these things are just falling into place. I don't believe Al Qaeda got onto these planes. And by the way, they were all in New York when they got on these planes. They didn't fly in from all over the world. They were all in New York. Every one of the 9/11 hijackers. So I think there's some puppets and manipulations. I mean, ISIS is ours. We paid for it. Al Qaeda is ours. We pay for it. Hamas is ours. We pay for it. So is Hezbollah. So is part of Iran and the IRGC. So is the Taliban. So is ISIS Khorasan. So if we pay for all this stuff, they're our assets. Oh, by the way, China also pays them too. So they're China's assets.
You know what
Oh,
the
by the way,
motivation there is, Doug?
so does Russia.
Let's not skip the obvious. We pay for these because there's no longer a Cold War, and we need a boogeyman to keep the military industrial complex in business.
There's no sane reason why we are sending any of these people money. Did you know in Iraq, a lovely place to go during the summer, by the way, they just lowered the age of consent for girls. You want to take a guess?
10.
Nine. This is the stuff that you're working with, guys. This is where our money is going with. All right. I may be a jaded old veteran over here, but I still have a love for people as Christ has taught me. But I'm also not stupid and naive. And I also don't want our money going to things that I don't want it going to. And for one thing, it's causing another dang war or continuing with these bloodthirsty killers. And those bloodthirsty killers, by the way, are ours. And we're going to get them to attack us. That's what I think we're going to do.
You said something very telling. Building 7, 9/11, destroy the records of Pentagon criminal corruption with the military industrial complex. I agree. And I would bring in the Joint Chiefs. But that strategy may be going at work at LA. Doug, here's what I found. This is really interesting. We know that a disproportionate number of Hollywood stars' homes have burned in these fires. Much higher than you would get percentage-wise. Let's say you got 0.1% is basically a Hollywood-related, like a movie producer, a movie star, whatever. Okay, so you got that home. They're being destroyed. Those homes are being destroyed at hundreds of times the rate of average civilians who aren't connected to that industry. And I've read some of these figures, and here's what I'm wondering. Remember what I said earlier? Diddy can't win. BlackRock has DOJ and FBI take him down, and are they destroying the evidence so the Trump DOJ doesn't get a hold of it in the LA fires? The statistics say there's smoke and it bears looking into. Could I win this case in a court of law? No, I don't think so. But I think it should be looked at. But it is interesting how these acts are many times motivated to cover up let's put it this way, bad acts. Think you're
Well, I
right.
mean that's, yeah. I mean that's part of the horrific history of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes.
It hit the what is it, the FECU, the Federal Employees Credit Union. It hit that. They held a crap load of records that was in there, and those records, I believe, were tied to IRS records, which I can't remember the rabbit hole that that goes down. But I know it plays into the same sort of orchestra now as the whole 9/11 thing, because that happened in what,
Yeah.
1995?
Yes, it's interesting. The one thing I remember about Oklahoma City bombing, I'm watching 12 News in Phoenix, And they had a grainy barroom video of Timothy McVeigh in a Middle East man the night before the bombing. And then I don't know if you ever knew this or not. After the event, the Oklahoma State Patrol put out an APB for John Doe number one, white male, John Doe number two, a Middle East male. And then all of a sudden, the John Doe number two disappeared. And it was just a single assassin kind of deal. And I'm telling you, where we're seeing this too is that massive ammunition shipments into Arizona with two different bus aired on Fox News 10. That's
Well,
been.
can we, yeah, can we back up? We have
Sure.
no idea what all is in this country already that has
Oh,
been
no.
shipped here. But in 2020, you and I had reported that the immigration field office that I believe is in Kansas or Kentucky, they found, I can't remember how many of the 50-gallon barrels, but filled with the AK-47 select fire parts that would allow an AK built here in America to go from semi-automatic one shot to fully automatic. And
We
they
talked
found
about
at least 10 50-gallon barrels filled with where the heck is that going?
I referenced that in my report about the scrubbed ammunition seizures in the media in Arizona. By the way, I captured the video. I have the report. It was detailed, Doug. They had map explanations here. This bust occurred here, and they had the map. This bust occurred here in Eloy, Arizona, which is halfway between Tucson and Phoenix. It was on the map. It was a very detailed report. Now you can't get it unless you go to my social media or my website. There's something else, too, I wanted to bring up before we close. I've covered this on my own media. I told you I was getting a lot of smoke. And when I went on John B. Wells' Caravan to Midnight on Thursday night, last Thursday night, I gave a request. If you know something, if you can help me piece together some of the key facts, man, I got two Black Hawk helicopter pilots. One of them is a trainer. And of course, they were working through some third party people, so they couldn't be traced to me. And they sent me a video showing how a Black Hawk helicopter could be remotely controlled in a demonstration done 2 days before the November election. And it was done in Connecticut. The vice president of Lockheed Martin chaired the meeting, and it looked like it was investors. I don't know that for a fact, but the way things were being presented, it was either reporting to investors or board members or stockholders. And it was Lockheed Martin doing this. And they showed the Black Hawk. They were controlling it completely remote control, and it was performing mechanical functions like lowering cargo and raising cargo with no pilots, no assistance on the ground other than electronics. And I won't go through all the details because we don't have time here. You have to go to my media to get that. But I will tell you this. When Ted Cruz walked out of the NTSB closed door meeting and he said the ADS-B transponder system was off, what these pilots told me in two different conversations, two different people, they said they turn them off when they have a VIP on because they're harder to track. But when they're in the Washington airspace without, because it's crowded and dangerous, without a VIP, they would have had it on. And so therefore, there was a VIP on board there. And this is leading to strong speculation, and I think it's really without doubt now, this was an assassination. And the witnesses say that the helicopter swerved into the plane. It wasn't like a, and here's the other thing. I asked this question of the Black Hawk helicopter pilot, one of them, who sent me the video. I said, do you think they could have overridden the altimeter to make the people on board the Black Hawk believe they were at 200 feet and not 400 feet? And he said, I don't know the extent of the technology. I just know what I've seen in this video. But I have a feeling that, well, let's talk about what you and I both know. There were three warnings to the pilot. Do you see the plane? Yeah, we got it. Do you see the plane? Yes, we got it. Do you see the plane? And that's the end of it. And I believe they thought they were at 200 feet and something overrode their instruments and told them they were at 400 feet. And also, I've been told they were wearing night vision. And when you go over a metropolitan area with lights with night vision, your vision outside is not going to be that good. So those are things I look at here. I believe that was an assassination. Doug, I think it was the pilot, maybe. Sarah Westall thinks it's the pilot. She visited the White House 3 times. Did you know that? Yeah, she's been to the White House 3 times, or she had since the inauguration. And that's fairly good information. Other people think it was someone who was blowing the whistle on eco alliance with USA funding for the Wuhan lab and implicating Fauci and people like this. So there's two schools of thought on who, what kind of person was on board. And then something else has surfaced. There are reports, and listen, I probably have 30 emails to this effect. People saw that they said they took four people out of the Potomac right after the crash. They didn't say four bodies. The media said four people. Now they pretty much have scrubbed the Facebook and the local media accounts. Have you heard that story?
That was the first thing that came out, was that there were four survivors. And Trump is the one who said it. Trump's the one who said it. And I'm like, holy crap. Anyone who survived that, I mean, you were lucky, right? And so.
Do you think that the people most likely to survive would have been the military on board because they might have been wearing enough padding and protective equipment to
No,
survive?
I mean,
I think that helicopter disintegrated, so that was my answer to that speculation.
well, I mean, when you see the video, I mean,
I know.
it's bad.
Fireball.
Well, that's because all the fuel's up top too. But
And can you survive a 200-foot drop into the water? Because that's like hitting cement.
well, I mean, they didn't auto rotate down, so there was no graceful crash. I don't know. I mean, well, like I said, man, some people can just get lucky and survive weird stuff they should have
Yeah, that's true.
died from. But no, and I've been in these helicopters. I mean, you sit in a seat, you got your 4-point seatbelt harness on, and maybe you're wearing a helmet with a microphone set, and that's it. I mean, it's just you and there's the ground. Now I will say this, being in plenty of helicopters, I think I fairly think that a pilot would know the difference between 400 feet and 200 feet. Everything's closer, right? So under night vision power, you lose a lot of things, all right? Just as your standard infantryman here, when you go under night vision, you lose depth perception, all right? Colors are off to you. Now, the helmets that our pilots wear are very advanced. The helicopter aircraft night vision typically is very good. These people have flown under night vision quite a lot. I also heard, so they should be used to it.
We got about 30 seconds, so you're
So
good.
I also heard that this was a drill for moving in a doomsday-like scenario.
Like nuclear sniffers, that's what I heard too. Yeah.
Not sniffers like, hey,
Really?
we gotta exfil somebody. This is an emergency drill. So I don't
Well,
know, man.
by sniffer, I mean you're looking for nuclear stuff on the ground.
It's either that or they're expecting something to hit. And that's what the whole drill was. And that it was, hey, this is ad hoc, jump the bird, we're taking off. But it's speculation. Who knows the truth at this rate, man? I
I
don't
hear
know.
you.
And are we gonna get it? I don't
Tell
know.
people quickly how they can follow you.
AmericanVindictaShow.com. Website's down, it'll be back up. But we're also at Patreon, Rumble, and YouTube. Please check us out at one of those
Yeah, I'm
three.
jealous. You're on YouTube, you devil.
Hey,
no, I'm listen,
I just got another
I'm
strike.
happy for you. Okay, because you're earning what you get and then some. We're at the commonsenseshow.com and we have our newsletter there. We have the commonsenseshow.tv. That's a TV show. That's how you follow us. You know, what people said to me, now that Trump's elected, Dave, what are you going to have to talk about? And all I got to say now is may we live in interesting times. And I think this broadcast really edifies that position. Doug, thanks for joining me here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Talk to you guys later.